I don't see any questions on this, so let's just open the floor up to general questions then. Does anybody have any general questions, not only on Shanta's presentation, but on any of the presentations, or any other questions you might have? Thank you, George, and I'm unmuting you now. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to follow up on that number I used of 15,000 pounds, or of 20,000 pounds. That's would be like the best case scenario with the best crop being broccoli, the best feeder.
Okay.
And just wanted to clarify that. Normally a yield might be 15,000 pounds and that would be only 70 pounds. And where it's currently 295. And I just wondered with, you know, if Monica is still around, where the experience or data is to suggest that, you know, to establish hard limits. I mean, usually in a regulatory environment or program like this, you would have the limits where you know there's sound science, I would think, you know, like in the near term. And then to speculate on you know, limits later, you would call them targets. And here you kind of have this reversed. And I just wondered what the line of thinking was there. I mean, we know we have the ability to raise broccoli with 295 pounds today, if that's the, you know, I just wondered where the logic was, because I mean, what she's talking about there is like a greenhouse, you know, no outside influences, no, you know, salt concentrations, ground temperature, municipal discharges, historical impacts of dairies, rainfall, cloud cover, field road direction, freezing temperatures. You know, you have all these outside impacts that are going to impact, you know, nitrate availability. And, you know, to say you're in a greenhouse is not really fair. I just wondered where the experience was to back that up.
All right. Diane or Monica, do we have a response to that?
Okay, I can start, George. So what we did was what we evaluated the limit that needs to be achieved over time to improve water quality. And we, as I said in another workshop, we recognize it will be a challenge in some instances, depending on the crop and how many rotations you have growing on that year. It will be a challenge to achieve the limits. That's why we gave growers enough time to improve and develop new techniques, technology, and BMPs to be able to meet them. We are not saying that it's going to be easy. That's why I think that the 50 limits is in 2050 or 2060. I forgot the 2050. So we are relying on new techniques and innovative technology, can name it. So you will have to start with implementing all the practices that are at your disposal right now, from pumping and fertilizing, using the nitrogen in the soil, making sure that fertilizer applications are according to what the crop needs. You know, the crops have a curve. They start needing less nitrogen, then they increase over the growing season. And most likely to meet these limits, you will have to work on the removal amount. In some instances, half of the crop is left over on the ground. So maybe increase the amount of plant material that you're taking out of the ground will be also another way that growers will need to start thinking on implementing to meet the limits that we know is a challenge. So the thinking was to improve water quality over time. And we try to be reasonable with the number of years we are giving growers to accomplish that.
Right. I mean, I understand that. I just like to look for something that gives us a measurement of continuous improvement. And I was wondering if you had a chance to think about, you know, the number of pounds of production divided by the new nitrate, which gives you an ongoing number to judge yourself by in every area. And it, I don't know, it's just a more simple number. You have, I ran some basic numbers for different crops, and it also takes into consideration wide bed production where, you know, if you have hard limits per acre, then it doesn't promote you to increase plant populations. In a lot of cases, we've seen increases in efficiency on wide beds, and it would, you know, like cauliflower, you can see that the number generally goes down, you know, whereas now you might be at 83 pounds per unit of applied in, you might drive that up, you know, your pounds of production would go up. Anyway, that's kind of the concept. It's just more, more motivating.
Yeah, we hear you. Yesterday, you were proposing A over R as a metric for the growers to see they're improving their efficiency. You can send that in writing. However, we did look at that because it was proposed under the A San Joaquin, but we decided to move forward with A minus R because it gives us a number like a magnitude in pounds instead of just a simple ratio. But again, go ahead and send us a comment and then maybe we can reevaluate to have this as a intermediate type of metric to see how growers are doing with the fertilizer efficiency.
Do you see what I'm saying relative to wide bed? And you know, you, if you have different plant configurations, it kind of penalizes you on that. And that was the point. And it's actually what I would do is, you're saying A over R. The R that I would have would be without the coefficient, so it's not as confusing. I would just use the plant pounds, you know, the pounds of, because we have a lot of that already. You know what I mean? We have carton equivalents. And so, you know, you don't, the coefficient, really, it's, you know, if you, for instance, if you have, you know, your 0.0046, you have to multiply that out, you do get a pounds of 70. Whereas if you have the 20,000 or whatever it might be over 295, you get 67 pounds per unit of production. And with the focus on trying to take advantage of every bit of nitrate that's in the groundwater, you're going to drive that number down in certain areas, and it'll kind of give you an overall view. Anyway, there's different ways to look at it. Maybe you could have two different ways of calculating, you know, if you wanted to, like you have two different phases, you might have two different ways. Anyway, something to think about.
Yeah. Thanks, George. And like Monica said, I would really appreciate you are, if you can memorialize that in a comment, like what you just said. You just said, you mentioned wide beds. That was one thing you mentioned. And one of your earlier comments was, you know, we're dirt farmers and, you know, this is complicated, but you know more than a lot of us. So we would really appreciate you providing detailed comments about what you mean by this and how we could help motivate you more. You know, you something about it's not very motivating. Well, how could we provide some other sort of metric that would be motivating? So, you know, we'd appreciate detailed comments on that. Really, we would.
And thank you. This workshop's been really helpful to get a lot of this fleshed out. So appreciate it.
Great. Well, you know, you appreciate your detail. You know, you're looking at this pretty detailed. I appreciate that. And obviously this table one stuff with respect to the nitrogen discharge in groundwater and how that's all going to work out, that's pretty complicated, you know, and thanks for taking a close look at it. Okay. Steve, I'm going to unmute you now. Maybe we can pick up.
Yeah. So can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. So this question is about the riparian stuff. So I'm only talking about operational setbacks. I'm not talking about the other riparian buffer, but the operational setback. So there's some things that I'm confused by, because in your answers, you seem to say that operational setback could be used for tractors. And one of the questions was, well, the turnaround space for tractors. Well, if the goal of the operational setback is to minimize soil disturbance, if that's one of the goals, certainly using the operational setback as a turnaround area at the end of rows would be disturbing a lot of soil. Now, I understand why the growers would want that. I truly do. It just doesn't compute for me that would work. And then the second question was about weed control. And I don't know, it was a separate sentence that Paul was using, and he was talking about spraying for weed control. And I guess my question is the operational setback also a no spray area?
So that second one was a question. The first one I think was more of a comment.
But, no, the first one was a question as well. Is a tractor turnaround area an acceptable use at the end of rows? An acceptable use of an operational setback.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for clarifying.
Hi, Steve. This is Paula. So for the first question, the goal of the operational setback is for sediment and erosion control, as you said. And so if they're going to be using that operational setback for a turnaround, then they'll need to establish management measures to control their soil vulnerable to erosion. That's part of the requirement.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Okay, and then for the second one, in terms of weed control, the question related specifically to non-native invasive species, and that is something in some instances where they do need to use herbicides. I mean, if you take something like Arundo, there isn't any technology right now to eliminate that plant without using herbicides. So it is permitted in terms of non-native invasive plant species only.
Okay, thank you.
And Steve, I'm just gonna follow up just real quickly. You were asking a question before earlier about whether or not we are defining loading differently, and I just wanna make sure I answer your question. So I took a look during the break, and loading is not defined per se in the order.
But it's defined in the table, and in the upper left-hand cell of that table, it basically says, you know, that here's, and then also it was defined in slide 22, where it says that load is you know, everything that's applied.
Okay, well, maybe in the presentation we mentioned the word loading, but I think what your original question was is, are we changing the word or the definition of loading between the two different compliance pathways in table one or in the groundwater protection requirements with respect to pathway one and pathway two? And the answer is we don't have a definition for loading that is pinpointed at both of those pathways. Probably inappropriate for us to come up with a definition of loading on the fly during a workshop. I can tell you that. I just want to make sure we answered your questions.
Great.
Thank you. And Paul, I am unmuting you now.
Thank you. I've got four questions that are all interrelated, so I hope you don't mind.
Oh, go ahead.
The first is, will there be, I'm curious what information will be shared about the different stroller classifications, the different waterways. Is that going to be made available in the near future?
Paula, can you?
In terms of what type of information are you asking about, Paul?
Is my stream class, class 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yes. There will be a number of different ways that growers will be provided that information. We will update their electronic notice of intent to provide them with that information. It will also be available on the interactive map, which is going to be released very soon.
Okay. Do you have a date for that?
Chris, we're shooting for next week, perhaps?
Yeah, Paul, we hope to have that map out next week. It's Paul's been working pretty hard on this map, I must say.
Cool.
And yeah, it's actually pretty cool, really. And it's going to be a web-based map where you can type in your address, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Paul, but for example, you can type in an address if you have an address that is near your ranch, and then you can use like a grab feature and then zoom in and get to where you have a question, and then take a cursor and click on the stream that is next to your ranch, and up you get this little pop-up menu that tells you the stream classification and what the setback is and so on. So it's a pretty cool tool that Paul has been developing over time. We hope to get that online next week. Once we get that online, of course, we'll email everybody and let everybody know that it's available.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So my next question to that is, I'm working with two different landowners on developing tailwater treatment systems that are currently within what I think would be considered the operational buffer at the very least. And so I'll be curious how that waterway is classified. The second part of that is how will the order accommodate water quality treatment structures, certainly that are pre-existing, as well as how does it deal with houses, barns, other semi-permanent fairly permanent structures that fall within proposed buffers. Are there accommodations for that, or how would you see people dealing with that?
Yes, okay. So for water quality treatment, if their requirement is for a riparian setback because they're in a priority area, then a water quality treatment system would need to be outside of the riparian area, because riparian areas are considered waters of the state, and waters of the state are not supposed to be used for treatment. There are some workarounds for certain circumstances, but they would likely require permitting from our 401 unit, because of the presence of riparian vegetation. The second part of your question related to permanent structures, there are provisions in the order for certain exemptions, and one of them talks about permanent structures. If it's in a riparian setback, they need to compensate for that lost area somewhere else in the setback. And if it's in an operational setback, then they would just need to ensure that those structures were not contributing to sediment and erosion coming off the farm.
So just so you know, both these projects are permitted and actually funded by the Water Board.
Okay, so again, that's why I said it's really going to be pretty case specific, and if that's the case, then they would be allowed.
Okay. And my last question is, these structures pull water from the waterway, not from the field directly before it dumps into the waterway, but they provide collective treatment for a percentage of that flow. Is there a means of factoring them into that producer's R-treat part of the A-R formula?
Diane, I would turn that to you, or Monica.
So if I could jump in here, with respect to, are you again referring to some projects that are being funded through the Water Board already?
I am.
Okay. So yeah, in those instances, those are, pretty specific situations, and we're going to have to deal with them individually. But I think that, those projects are all established to be an overall improvement in water quality. And so with respect to how they comply with every component of the order, I think they're going to be treated differently.
And if I could add onto that, Diane, so if I'm understanding your question, Paul, so you're pulling water, you're treating it, and then you discharge it back into the water body. And can we get some, or can that grower get some sort of a discount on their A-R calculation, basically? So there is a, in the removed portion of the A-R calculation, Diane, isn't there a treatment?
For treatment, yes.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're describing this, and if I'm understanding the way that you're describing this, Paul, The only thing that kind of sounds a little tricky to me is that if you're pulling from a water body where there's commingled water, where you have a bunch of growers that are discharging to that water, it's going to be really difficult to differentiate, you know, how much is whose, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're pulling from a discrete discharge from a guy's farm, and you can say, yeah, this is all his and we're treating it, then the answer is yes. Then we can discount that in the removal factor in the A minus R calculation.
Yeah, it's the trickier question that we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Thank you.
Paul, did we get to all of them or?
Yes, you did. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Okay. Any other questions? I saw somebody had a hand up, but looks like they removed it. Maybe we answered the question. George, I'm unmuting you now. You're good to go.
I just have that same. So if it's off the ranch, that determination has not been made. As far as remediating nitrate that may not have been produced on that farm.
Yeah, you know, I don't think, frankly, we haven't gotten into the weeds on we haven't gotten into that level of detail about how that treatment of the R nitrogen would be treated. I'm just kind of brainstorming here and thinking that if it's coming from off the farm where you have commingled water from a bunch of growers, it's not as straightforward as if it was just coming straight off your farm, right? And to be honest with you, I just don't know how we would handle that. And that would be something that if you had a suggestion, please include in your comments, because obviously we want to incentivize that treatment. So
okay. Yeah, that's what I was going to mention is that we don't want to disincentivize larger scale effort.
Right. Yeah. So if you have some ideas on that, please, you know, let us know.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Wait a few moments for any other hands that might go up. Okay, well, seeing none, again, thank you all for participating.